Welcome to Blether Together from Farmstrong Scotland. I'm Sarah Stephen. Thanks for being with us. Our chat this time is with Bobby Stevenson. He's from South Ayrshire, a former dairy farmer who sold the farm after years battling with mental ill health. Passionate about rugby, he felt free and part of a team on the pitch. However, he says, off the pitch, there was nobody to blow the whistle when his stress and anxiety became too much.
Nobody blew the whistle when I was farming. I just kept going.
Bobby is keen to share his story. He says the only way to break the stigma around mental health is to share. And if he helps one person doing so, then it is worth it.
The only way we're going to reduce the stigma that's connected to mental health is talk about it.
Let's get into it now. Introducing Bobby Stevenson. Bobby, hello and welcome to Blether Together. Thank you very much for joining us.
No, it's my pleasure.
Tell me where you're coming from today.
I'm in a wee village called Stonycut, just south of Stranraer in Bonnie Galloway. We're on the kind of the east side of the peninsula, heading down towards the Mullagalloway. I've been an Ayrshire man all my life, born and bred in Ballantrae, moved down here. This will be our fifth summer approaching, coming down here. It's a nice setting. I can see land, I can see the sea, and got two or three neighbours, but they're no immediate neighbours, which I not really used to. I've lived on a farm in the middle of 600 acres for 40-odd years, or 50-odd years. It's quite nice.
I like to start the podcast with a round of rapid-fire questions. Are you up for that today?
Well, we can try, yes.
Okay, well, let's just go for it. Okay, so first answer that comes to mind. Out of 10, how are you feeling today?
I'm going to say 9.
A 9, that's good. That's up there. Mm-hmm. Who do you text the most?
I'm not really a texted person, but I would reply to some of my texts from my customers. Not all my customers, to be perfectly honest.
Okay, noted. Do you like clothes shopping?
No, definitely not.
What object do you misplace or lose the most?
Well, everything. Absolutely everything. I've no idea where anything is. No idea where anything is.
Yeah, I'm a bit like that too. What biscuit do you most identify with?
Club.
A club biscuit?
Yep.
That's definitely showing your age.
It used to annoy my father. He used to take the chocolate biscuit out and put it back in the plate, and he would go and pick it up, much to his annoyance, to discover that it was empty.
What, are you an orange club or a mint club?
The one with the cunt.
Okay, interesting. What is one missed opportunity that you wish you could have had a second chance at?
Playing rugby.
Dog or cat person?
Dog.
Window or aisle seat?
Window.
What's your pet peeve?
Litter.
Oh, yeah. Likewise. What's something you notice about someone when you first meet them?
Well, I would say I was pretty much guilty of judging a book by its cover, so appearance. And for somebody that doesn't do a lot of clothes shopping, I would say dress sense. If it turned up in a boiler suit, that would be a plus for a start.
Oh, a boiler suit's a great thing to have. Listen, you said it right at the beginning, you were feeling a 9 out of 10 today. Can you expand on that?
Well, I get up this morning, I'd cleared my diary for this morning. I took the dogs down out to the beach at Sandhead and had an hour on the beach in Sandhead. And what a morning for that. Came back up, did a wee bit. Nobody has phoned me and said, this has went wrong, that's went wrong.
Is that your routine every morning?
No, it's not my routine every morning. Some mornings I'd be up at the crack of dawn and away. But this morning took me, my wife's actually, she's suffering from shingles at the moment. So she would take the dogs down and that would, two collie dogs. That's why it would be a 9 out of 10, I would say. And the sun's shining. I'm sitting here in a T-shirt.
And having a blether.
Yes.
Well, I'm sorry that your wife's feeling poorly. Shingles is unpleasant.
Yes, seriously, aye.
Yeah, seriously unpleasant. Well, I hope she gets better soon. So, Bobby, sorry to get a bit serious for, you know, this time in the morning, but I know that you've been down a long road with your mental health. It'd be great to talk a bit about that because that's what the podcast is all about. And people, you know, are very good to come onto the podcast and share their stories. Would you mind sharing your story a little bit?
Not at all. You can go anywhere you want.
Have you always been comfortable sharing?
Not initially. Well, when Claire Taylor wrote the article in the Scottish Farmer, I thought the wound had healed over, but that picked up the scab. But it's the only way we're going to reduce the stigma that's connected to mental health is talk about it. And when I was at my worst, it was somebody that actually went through it, a local farmer. Well, it wasn't local, but it wasn't far away. And he certainly helped me get through it and show you there is a light at the end of the tunnel. It's interesting how people reacted when I had my finished up in hospital. Some people never altered. They came and they visited, and other people, they weren't comfortable dealing with it, and particularly the salesmen. But there wasn't many salesmen left at that time. But some of them were a real rock to lean on, and other ones, well, that's they weren't sure how to cope the whole thing themselves.
When do you think things first started to feel wrong for you?
I had a stroke when I was 49, and that accelerated the aging process. We're all getting older all the time, and when you're 49, you can't do what you did when you were 19. You maybe could do what you did when you were 29, but you certainly could do what you did when you were 39, or you thought you could. The stroke, which I didn't see coming at all. I was fairly fit. Well, I thought I was fairly fit. And a Sunday afternoon, I finished the jobs, bang. But I described that as somebody just had picked you up and wrung you like a towel, sucked you back down, and added 10 years onto you just in the whole one go. And that's when I felt I lost the ability. Well, I did lose the ability to do the level of work with the business that I once was. I struggled to deal with the bigger picture, like even harvest time or lambing time or something like that, and it all started to just, it didn't happen overnight. But I would say the stroke definitely was the catalyst for things taking a downward spiral for myself.
I mean, it sounds like there was an awful lot going on in your life at that time. How stressed were you?
I didn't really think it was. When we had my parents moved to Ballantrae in 1965 from Lanarkshire and started a business. And I pretty much joined. I mean, I didn't really enjoy school, but came into the business pretty much when I left the school, and which required small bits of ground, and built the thing up, and we're farming 600 acres and 3 200-acre blocks, and which that all brought its own stress as well, because it was so much easier if everything was all in the one place. But that's what it was. Yeah, we'd borrowed a bit of money to buy the last block of land, and but milk prices were good, and then milk prices crashed, which created a bit of pressure. It went from just over 30 pence to 16, 17 pence, and well, we had to deal with that. But I certainly didn't see the stroke coming at all, and they said to me that the most likely cause of the stroke was high blood pressure. I don't know what the signs of high blood pressure are, and I would urge people, if you get the opportunity, if you're at the market or at a show or something like that, and somebody's standing there, to take your blood pressure. And potentially, if I'd done that, it would have been a different course. If it would have been trying to rectify that, either with medication or what. But that definitely was the catalyst for things going wrong for me, I think.
I mean, your dad starting the business, building up the business, and then you coming on board. And obviously, there's probably a bit of pressure to succeed and make it a success. You're expanding it. You're spreading yourself quite thin. How focused were you on success?
Oh, totally. For me, our average wasn't good enough. And the area where I farmed, I would have thought that, you know, average was a disrespect to the generations that went before it. No, I was by no means a perfectionist, but my cows, I would say, were high input, high output. Some days you've got high input, low output, but no, it was, I wanted a spring crop of barley to be the best it could, and yeah, I wanted my reseeds to be a success, and yeah, no, I think I achieved that, yes.
What was your outlet at that time? Who did you share your, you know, your troubles and your woes with?
I wouldn't say I shared my troubles, but early in my life I played a lot of rugby with the local rugby club. That was my go-to place, rugby. And we were fairly successful the number of years. We had a good young team, and we progressed up through the leagues as a club. And when I stopped playing rugby, I just flung myself into farming. I didn't go and watch, because I said if I've given up the time to watch, I would far rather give up the time to play. And my parents were getting older, and my father never, not once did he see me play rugby. Of all the years that I played rugby at the school and played rugby for the local club, he said he'd just stay at home and do the work. And at that point, it was my mum and dad, myself, and maybe one other chap or a part-time chap. So I decided to stay at home. But the comparison I draw to my farming career and my rugby career, somebody blew the whistle and said, right, that's the game over. You stop. When you were training, somebody came 9 o'clock and you stop. Nobody blew the whistle when I was farming. I just kept going. And in the summertime, you were right after your tea, and you weren't the wires back in at 9 o'clock, or even after it if you were busy. But nobody actually told me, right, you stop. There was always something to be done.
If you're enjoying this episode of Blethered Together, here are a few things you can do to help us out and to keep us growing into the future. First of all, share the podcast with friends or family you think might be interested. Word of mouth is the best tool for us to reach new listeners. So please, either share a link to the episode on social media or in your WhatsApp group. Or better still, in person, face to face. Let people know they can find us just by searching Farmstrong Scotland Podcast online. Please also subscribe to the podcast in Spotify or Apple or wherever you listen. That way, you'll always get an update on your phone when new episodes come out. You could also connect and drop us a note on social media. We'd particularly welcome your thoughts on people we should speak to in future episodes of Blethered Together. Who inspires you to think differently about well-being or has a story that you think deserves a wider airing? Please let us know. So, a quick thanks to NFU Mutual Charitable Trust for their continued support of Farmstrong Scotland and the Blethered Together podcast. And now, back to today's chat. I mean, it sounds that you took on a lot of responsibility yourself. I mean, how much responsibility did you shoulder yourself? I mean, this is all on me. I've got to do this. I'm the one that's going to make that a success. Did you feel it was all your fault when things weren't working well?
Yes, when things started going wrong, yes. And I described it to the councillors. I was in a hole, down in a deep hole. And my job, there was dirt on the floor. My job was to shovel that up and throw it out over the top of the hole. And you just get it shoveled up and another bit fell in. You were just constantly. And my mental health breakdown didn't happen overnight. It was a long period of time from 49, 5 years probably that would be building up over that time. And when I finished up being admitted into hospital, it would be a total bombshell to my next door neighbours. They wouldn't have had a clue. They would go, wow, didn't see that coming. Didn't see that coming.
And you know, just that admission, that moment, you know, what can you recall about that?
Well, I was functioning till one morning. I couldn't get out of my bed. Couldn't go and milk the cows. And prior to that, it was my wife who would say, look, there's something wrong with you. Need to go to the doctor. And I was fortunate that the doctor that we had, his father knew me as a child, right, kind of, I was born there, and you arrive, can I arrive into the doctor's study? Well, something's not right here. And started getting a wee bit of counselling and the pressures it was under and dealing with that. And did I buy into that totally? Probably didn't buy into it totally. She would give you wee jobs to do. But they knew what they were doing. I've left that room in tears, just sitting talking. They know how to pull things out of you you were exhausted when you came out of there, exhausted. And that went on 6 months that summer, and then turn of the year, well, January time, December, January time, it's not a great time, it's dark, you're going out in the morning in the dark, and the whole thing snowballed into a state that the whole thing came to a head, and pray that you could call it a breakdown, and I just sat and cried, but grim.
You spoke earlier about how, I suppose, when it happened, there were people you could count on, but there was obviously also people that you couldn't count on. How did you rely on the people around you?
Well, there was a couple of next door neighbours that really, and I mean them, really stepped up to the plate. We were working through a TB test at the time, and they just took over and got through. Thankfully, we got through the TB test time. And just coincidentally, when we were actually selling the farm and selling the stock, that was us due another TB test. So that was a period of time, 4 years. It's not a criticism, and anybody that I'm not saying they stepped away from it, but there was even within my family how different generations deal with it. I'm quite open about what we're going through, and I've got an auntie. I mean, you're better now. Can you better now? And it's in my mum's side. My mum's had a wee touchy, and members of her family. I've got a cousin that's touched with it. But we'd said before, it's not a broken leg where you can see that. You've no idea what was going on in anybody's head.
Tell me about the decision to sell the farm.
The advice I'd been getting from the medical profession said it's not mental that's wrong with you, it's environmental. And unless you change your environment, we're only going to get you better. And then you're going to tickle along, and then the next thing, boom, where your coping strategies are not working. And it worked. Two boys, and Val and I have got two boys, they were in their early 20s at that time. Not showing any interest in farming. No, it wasn't an easy decision. No, it wasn't an easy decision because my parents had worked hard. My father was he came from a non-farming background and bitten by the bug and built up the business. And my mother, she was very much involved in that as well. But I would say to these counsellors, I said, look, you have to farm as if you're going to live forever. And she said, well, your grandchildren are not born yet. They might never be born. And I'm saying, well, I said, there might be a Stevenson someday running about, God, I wish I had half what my grandpa had or something like that. And they said, well, you've got to make decisions for your life for the better. So, and at the end, it was an easy process. I just let an estate agent get on with it. But I could see really how a fourth, a third, a fourth, a fifth generation farmer that's in a farm and struggling and looking at that scenario, how that would weigh extremely heavily on him, thinking that he was the one that wasn't making this work, and that would be great.
You know, handing over the keys, signing on the dotted line, how did that feel?
No great. When you buy land, there's a feeling that you get, you walk over the field and that is your field. And I've had that opportunity two or three times. But there's also the opposite feeling when you sell land that you can't walk over it and say that's yours. But your bank balance reflects the fact that you can't walk over it. So that there's the other side to it.
Every cloud, etc. And I mean, yeah. I suppose having your parents, not, you know, just in spirit, over you, you know.
Yeah, well, my mum's still alive. My dad passed away a number of years ago, but my mum's still alive. She's 90 this year, and she still lives above the farm. She drives down past it every day, and I don't know how she does it, actually, to be perfectly honest. But you know,
have you been back? Can you bear to?
Yes, I've been back. Well, I've been back, it was my home for 50-odd years, and I was born there, brought up there, and brought my kids up there. Life moves on. There's nothing more constant than change, my father always used to say.
Absolutely. And then you've spoken a bit about counselling and speaking to someone, and is that something you still attend?
I don't, but I was determined to get myself off the medication that I was on. Got myself off under the doctor's guidance, and I'm now back onto a minimum level of a certain medication. Your mental health, you could go from being a 9, like what I've said today, everything's going fine, and something goes wrong, and you're at a 2, just in the click of a finger. Suddenly the whole world's falling in on you. And what I'm on now is just to try and maybe not get you as far up as a 9 too often, but certainly don't get you down to a 2 as often. And it definitely helps.
And, you know, thinking about your family dynamic, you said you've got 2 boys and your wife who's been an amazing support. Has that changed?
No, well, I would say when we get married in 1992, for the vows and everything, for better, for worse, for richer, for poorer, for in sickness and in health, she absolutely meant that, because she was a rock through the whole of this, and it certainly wasn't easy for her. I mean, she was a primary school teacher. She's retired now. And when I was admitted to hospital and deemed Duncan, well, I certainly would have been, if I'd been a doctor or anything like that, I'd have been signed off my work a long time ago. The Education Authority, which my wife got signed off from Christmas to Easter, and a replacement was found. Whereas when you're farming, there's no that fallback on it when you're no well. If you're understaffed before you're no well, you're not going to alter that. Just
especially with a dairy farm.
People ask me, do I miss milking the cows? I totally miss the first half of the morning milking. When you new calf cows, given a bit of milk, want to get into the parlour, didn't give you any hassle. Second half, you get the kick of the stragglers and you're out and collecting them into the collecting area, into the parlour. I thoroughly enjoyed what I was doing and getting to the kind of animal that I liked. It was one of the few things that my father and I agreed on was the type of cow that we wanted to work with. But my wife's a farmer's daughter, but she was never really hands-on at all. Became more hands-on once I was no well. She would encourage me to try and get and feed the calves in the morning, and literally I could get halfway across the close and say, look, this is that. No, I need you back in the house. It was just totally overwhelming. And she went and fed the calves and the same at night and afternoon. I would spend 2-3 years that I wouldn't be out of the house. Seriously, I wasn't out of the house. Couldn't get out of the house.
And I'm thinking about your boys as well, Bobby, just in terms of what happened to you, the impact on them, and I suppose that everybody becoming more comfortable with, you know, sharing and being more open.
I think it's when the article was in the Scottish Farmer, there was a lot of positive comments, but particularly from my boys' peers, their age group. They were far more open about the whole thing than any of my age group would ever be. And hopefully that's the case going across the farming sector. And my son did, but he didn't. None of them were in the Young Farmers or anything like that. Just, they helped in their summer holidays and whatnot to get their pocket money. But you could see from an early age that there were maybe no one to do. But that my view was they were better to go away and do something and come back to it, and we had the conversation. I can remember my wife speaking to Craig, who was out in Australia at the time after he finished university, and do you think you have any notion that you'll ever come back farming? And he said he was lying in some beach in Sydney with a beer in his hand, and he's looking around about the scene, and he's like, I'll not be back to farm, Mum. So, that was it.
I think it's a hard question, isn't it, for a 17, 18, 19-year-old to answer. You know, I met a couple of farmers recently who had been asked the same question, actually lived in a same part of the world as you, and they were 18. You know, they wanted to have fun, see the world, travel, but they regret saying no now, you know, 10, 15 years later. But, you know, yeah, it's a time of life to let them go, isn't it, and have some fun, and you know, they might come back to it, but everything happens for a reason, and it sounds like they were incredibly supportive of you. And do you think what you've been through has made you more in tune with others? I mean, can you spot when, you know, other people are potentially not in a great place?
No, because people don't show it very greatly. And I would go through some of the things that I was asked this already for one another, and what was the signs that you identified looking back weren't right? And I said, well, one of the first things I did when I jumped into a tractor, somebody had left the radio on. You turned the key and the radio came on. Before you started the tractor, you turned the radio off and just wanted peace and quiet. And my wife will say that even at night, I'll come in and she'll have Alexa playing Greatest Hits Radio, and I'm saying, Alexa, shut it up, please. And it's quite hard to keep that how you're feeling outside without bringing that into the house. And she said, well, what the hell have I done wrong? The inability to make a decision. You doubted yourself all the time. When you were putting stock to grass, a lot of your stock would three different blocks. Most of the stock was in the home farm for the winter, and they were floated to various places. Unless you wrote it down, the minute you counted them into the trailer, you wrote that down, because you would forget. Was it 15? No, I think it was 14. And then just things like that, wee things like that.
I'm just wondering, what do you do every day? What do you do to have fun? How do you chill out? What do you do, like, even physically to keep yourself, you know, healthy?
Well, I'm about 3 stone heavier than I used to be. Well, definitely 3 stone heavier than when I stopped farming, so probably not keeping myself all that healthy. But I've now taken on a separate cycling challenge in September this year, and I've joined a gym, but I've just realised joining a gym doesn't actually do anything for you. You've got to go and attend the thing and whatnot. I say probably if the doctor analysed my alcohol intake, he wouldn't be too happy. And I keep saying, well, my nights are all backdated because I was milking cows for 30 years. Back on the committee. If I've been away from the rugby club for 30 years, I'm back on the committee of the local rugby club, trying to steer it, hopefully, and keep it going in the right direction.
So that sounds like a real passion of yours. So it sounds that that's a positive to get back in to that sport in some way.
Rugby is a great sport to get involved in. You make for lifelong friends from rugby, and you may do from other sports, but it's also a team game. It's you've got to work together. You've got to be all in looking for the same goals out of the whole thing. And I was fortunate enough at the time when I played at that level, that was the mindset of the people that played along with us.
And if you had to have a sort of philosophy that you applied every day, is there one thing that you do every day just to check in with yourself and say, Bobby, do you know what? It's okay.
Well, I would say actually, since I went back to the doctor, I mean, I've been back on medication for two years. Once I've been back onto that, I would say, no, I'm in a fairly level plane. But the way I did when I was struggling, I would box it off into wee bits. Don't take in the bigger picture. Just box it off, right? You get up and you do this. You put it into small bits and you do that. Then you go into the next box. Then you go into the next box and it's dinner time. And then you get through it that way. Sleep is very important when you're not getting enough sleep due to hours that you're working, and then the stress kicks in, and you would go to your bed and you would lights out just in a flash. But you'd wake up 1 o'clock, 2 o'clock, wide awake, sweating. Yeah, I need to get back to sleep. It's 3 hours and I'll be up. And then it just seemed like he would fall asleep, and then the next thing the alarm would go off, and that was you back at the thing again. No, I mean the life I have at the moment is totally different from where I was. There's kind of your minimum decisions to make. When you're farming, you're making decisions all the time, and things go wrong, things didn't work out, and that's more mud that's fallen into the hole that you're shoveling out of. And I know Farm Strong is trying to stop people falling through the net, but once I fell through the net, I struggled in the mental health system because they didn't know how to deal with somebody that came from agriculture. I think there has to be more support, there must be more effort put in, because the model that they use doesn't fit a farmer. Maybe fits a lawyer or a school teacher or something. It doesn't fit agriculture. And they ask me, what shift do you work? I says, I work from 5 to 9. Well, that's okay. To explain that it's 5 a.m. to 9 p.m. And they go, oh, how long have you been doing that? I said, I've done that all my days. Well, I said, as long as you're prepared to pay more for water in the supermarket than you are for milk, that is the road I'm getting pushed down. Everybody wants more for less in the industry all the time, more for less. It wasn't actually till it was a farmer's daughter, a Northern Ireland farmer's daughter, that got a hold of when I was in hospital, and she could grasp the whole picture of what was involved in a family farm, and it was a breath of fresh air. It really was breath of fresh air.
It's been lovely to chat to you, and I think you have been incredibly open and candid today, which I think will be a massive help to others out there. And obviously you mentioned Farm Strong, and if people do have worries about their health, mental health, then obviously they can check out Farm Strong Scotland's online How's It Going tool at farmstrongscotland.org.uk. It is a brilliant, easy access tool for people, and you know, we would encourage people to go to that.
If me speaking about it helps one person, on you go. As I said at the beginning, we're only going to break down the stigma of mental health, and it is absolutely nothing to be ashamed of. Nothing to be ashamed of. And there is, for some people that are going through it, or somebody's wife, partner, well, that you're ticking some of the boxes that gentleman's mentioned there, and seek help, speak to people, seek help.
Bobby, thank you very much. It's been so interesting talking to you, and thank you for sharing. I hope your day continues to be a 9 out of 10, but if it is a 4 out of 10 or a 2 out of 10, that's okay too.
Yes, yeah. And we've got the addition of a granddaughter in the family now, and that definitely lifts, 6-month-old, that lifts the spirits no end.
Oh, that sounds like it'll keep you fit.
Yes.
I'm sure you'll be a great grandpa. Bobby, thank you very much for your time.
My pleasure. Thank you.
Huge thanks to Bobby Stevenson. Fantastic of him to be so open, sharing his story to try to help others. One thing you can do if you have any worries about your mental health is to check out Farmstrong Scotland's online How's It Going tool at farmstrongscotland.org.uk. It is a brilliant, easy access way to think about your mental well-being and what you might be able to do to find help if you need it. See you next time.